Welcome back, family, to the Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. Today, we're diving into a heavy but absolutely necessary topic, the two judgments the Bible talks about, which are the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And our disclaimer is, remember, this is a Bible study with Bristol, Amy, and Evelyn. It is not a replacement for the Bible, so please reference your Bible with all the scripture we're giving you. We do try to read from the Bible, and we do, you know, reference the scripture, but please come to your own conclusions. We're just having a discussion about what we got from this and what our Bible study got from it last night.
Yep. So this is one of those subjects when we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. So these are things that people don't like to think about, right?
Right.
I mean, the Bible is clear, though. Every single person will stand before God.
People don't like to hear it. We talked about that last night, how for like in all the years of going to church between all of us, we never really hear in church the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment specifically.
I didn't know what they were.
But yeah, but Hebrews 9 verse 27 says it straight. It's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So nobody escapes it, believer, unbeliever. So the question is, which judgment are you going to face?
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, when we talked about the two judgments last night, I even said, how often have we been into church and we've never even heard this terminology? We even brought up crowns, and we're like, crowns? And we talked about that, which we'll get into. So those two judgments couldn't be more different.
Right.
Yeah. So let's start with one for the believers, which hopefully everybody who is, well, I know the ones of us sitting here are certainly believers. And I pray that everybody, if you don't believe, that you do come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10 says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 adds, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Now, I know some people hear judgment and panic. I know I do.
Right.
They think, wait, like, are my sins coming back up? Because I thought once we ask forgiveness, they're forgotten, right? But this isn't that kind of judgment.
Right. So this isn't about salvation. Romans 8, verse 1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is about rewards, not whether you make it into heaven.
Exactly. The Greek word for judgment seat is bema. It's from the athletic games, the raised platform where the winners stood to receive their crowns. This is like Jesus handing out rewards, not condemning his children.
So what exactly gets judged here then?
Our works. And we talked, like we had a great discussion last night about the works and how some get burned up. And again, a lot of it was new to me and a lot new to the group as we discussed it. But in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, it paints a picture. Some works are like gold and silver, precious stones. They survive the fire. Mm-hmm. Others were like wood, hay, and stubble. They get burned up. If your works were for God here on this earth, they lasted. If they were selfish, they were gone. They would burn up.
That even checks motives. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 said, God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the motives of the heart.
Yeah, so you can do good things with the wrong heart, and it won't count for reward. Like giving to look spiritual, or serving so people pat you on your back.
Exactly. Yeah. Even Jesus warned about that in Matthew 6, right? If you don't, you know, if you want to be seen by men, you've already received your reward right here on earth, right? We've been, at a girl or at a boy, and everybody gives the applause here on earth.
So. Right. But if you do it for him, then the reward lasts forever, which definitely sparked an interesting conversation last night, because we were like, well, sometimes I, you know, do things that I don't want to do. I do them a little bit begrudgingly, but I do them because God wants me to.
Right. And, you know, it makes him happy.
So,
right?
So is that a good motivation? Like, I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. So, like, I don't know.
Well, we talked about, right, it says to be a cheerful giver. We talked even about, like, when you're giving, and there's certain things.
Maybe not cheerfully.
Yeah, maybe not cheerfully, because sometimes you're giving of time, right? It's not just always about money. Yeah. Everything's giving of money, but it's your time, it's your resources, it's all that. And you're like, well, I don't really want to do it, but okay.
Yeah.
We did talk at length about that. And there were actual crowns mentioned in Scripture, which will last forever, right? The crown of life, the incorruptible crown,
the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, rewards that represent faithful endurance and soul winning, shepherding, loving his return. And again, when we talked about this, we did go in length. We actually even looked some things up into like, and we heard crowns and we just thought it was like a metaphor, but it's a true reward that the Lord gets.
And loving his return is an interesting timing because we're about to start a series on Revelation.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we do want his return, of course, but one of the main things you study in Revelation is when is the tribulation. And of course, we'll get into all that then. But like, Lord, I want the crown of loving your return, but I am also afraid. If I am not raptured first, I'm scared.
Yeah, so I mean, learning about the crowns, it really blew my mind.
Right.
Because I really didn't know about the crowns.
Yeah, like I thought they were like metaphorical.
Yeah.
I had thought of a couple here and there you heard in scripture, but I didn't realize it was like actual crowns and yeah.
Right. Well, reflect
your works.
So the crowns will reflect our works for eternity, especially.
Right, so good and bad, though. Yeah. So the stuff that is bad wasn't
for
in the name of Jesus, basically,
yeah,
will be burned up.
Right.
And so I think John Bevere, he mentioned, which I thought was very interesting, some people, so again, it's not about salvation. So you're in heaven. Your salvation, you're there, but now you're going to be judged in front of Jesus and also the angels and God. So you're going to be judged in front of all those people and other believers. I mean, because it says the saints, too. And you're going to watch whatever you did on this earth either burn up or give you a crown. And I found it interesting that he's like, some people may get nothing. Some people will get some things, but some people will get their full reward.
Yeah.
I want to get my full reward.
Right.
So we read on this like, okay, well, how do we get a full reward? What does that look like? You know?
Yeah. So heaven isn't equal for everyone in terms of reward. Salvation is equal.
Yes, exactly.
But the crowns and authority will differ based on your works that you did in your life.
In your motivation.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Luke 19 really shows that. Some were put over 10 cities, some over 5. It matters how faithful we are with what God has given us.
That's true. And that's why judgment seat of Christ should motivate us, which we talked about last night. Like, it actually put a little bit more motivation in you after reviewing it.
Right, yeah.
Not out of fear, but out of love and accountability. Okay, so the great white throne, we're going to shift into that. Revelation 20, 11, 12 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Now, we really talked about the books because we're like,
there's
more than one.
There's not a book of life with our name in it.
Your name's written, that's it.
Yeah, not a scribe writing about all the things we did in life. That's terrifying.
Paul is like a snitch, those snitches out there.
But the good thing about us is, as believers, we won't see this.
This
is not for the believers. So, because I'm like, well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Because like, remember, like the Lord forgets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you've repented the sin, he'll forget it. This is not what that's referring to.
Yeah. No, this is actually referring to the final judgment. And this is, like you said, for unbelievers only.
Yes.
Yes. So this happens after the millennium, when every person who rejected Christ stands before God. Their works are judged, but here's the catch. Works can't save anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Ephesians 2:8-9 says that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works.
Exactly. The books are opened, and then the book of life, Revelation 20:15 says, "Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's final. That's eternal.
Yeah, and here's something sobering. There are degrees of punishment. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:22-24, "It would be more tolerable for some than others." In Luke 12:47-48, shows that those who knew God's will and rejected it will face harsher judgment than those who didn't know.
Yes. So God is perfectly just. No one will be punished unfairly. But without Christ, the verdict is the same. Eternal separation in the lake of fire.
Yeah, that's why this matters so much, and your motivations, I think, matter as well.
Right.
Very clearly. There's no second chances after that. It's over.
Yeah.
That's true. So to sum it all up, every person will stand before God, believers at the judgment seat of Christ, and unbelievers at the great white throne.
At the Bema seat, it's about rewards for faithfulness. What did he say? What do they say? Bema and John Victor's words were a decision based on an investigation.
Yes, that's right.
Not like a condemning judgment, but just a decision.
That's it.
Based on what you have done. So yep. It was rewards for faithfulness. At the great white throne, it's about eternal sentencing for rejecting Christ.
Yeah. That's it. Two judgments, two destinations, and two completely different outcomes.
And it all comes down to one thing. What you did with Jesus, what was your relationship like?
Right. Either you will bow at the cross now, or you will bow at the throne later. And Philippians 2, verse 10 says, every knee will bow. Every knee.
So true. So true. For believers, this should light a fire under us. And I think the consensus last night was like listening to the crowns and listening to all this, that it did light a fire, right?
Right.
1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. For unbelievers, the invitation is urgent. John 5:25 says, he who hears my word and believes has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life.
And that is good news. You don't have to face the great white throne. You can have eternal life in Christ today.
Praise God. Thank you.
Amen.
Now, before we close, we're going to go into our discussion questions that we had last night. We did discuss some of them, but I want to make sure we address all of them. And then we can also talk about, I think it's important to talk about the five crowns and what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Where we found that information, right?
Yes.
So one of the questions was, when you think about the judgment seat of Christ, what emotions come up for you? Like fear, excitement, motivation, or something else, and why? We had some discussion about that last night. Like for me, it's like, it's motivate. It's all those things. I think most of us said, well, it's really all those things.
It's everything.
But, you know, maybe some stands out for people more than others. For me, it's motivating as well, because I have so many non-believers or people who are lukewarm or non-believers.
Right.
That it's important that I want to see them at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Do you guys have anything to add to that one?
I mean, yeah, it would be a little bit of everything. It's motivation to, you know, live better. It's kind of humbling.
Right.
And also, there's that fear of just, like, you think you're doing all the right things. You think you're doing it for the Lord. And then you get there and you're like, oh, crap. Maybe I wasn't. Right. Back up. And so there's that. Just like, you don't want to disappoint your savior. And just that just kind of, there's like a bit of an anxiety, like, oh my gosh, like what? Like it really does a heart check to make sure that you are doing things
for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But I think in a couple of us, we talked about like, what does that look like in heaven? You know, of course we don't know until we get there, but we do know some things. There are no tears in heaven.
Right? Yeah.
There is like no despair. But, you know, in reading some of the stuff, it's like when you stand before the Lord, you're going to have a loving rebuke, I think, is what really what it looks like. Right? It's going to be loving them. They're telling you loving them. I'm going to burn this up, and you're going to watch your works that you did on this earth that you thought you were maybe doing for the Lord.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, not so much. I knew your heart better than you did.
Right.
So he would burn that up. But I think for me also, it's exciting to know that I'm there. No matter what, I'm there.
Right. Yeah.
So at least, you know, we talked about like, we don't want to be like, have the smoke coming off our backside, right? But I don't want to be just barely there. I do want something on my crown. Right?
Yeah.
But anyway,
you got something. Definitely motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I think as the Holy Spirit has like sanctified me through the years,
It
makes me realize that so much of my life has not been something that I wanted to judge on.
Yeah.
Like even, you know, I came to walk with Christ like 12 years ago or something. But I would say even like over the past like 3 years, my walk became a lot more serious.
Yeah.
So in my 36 years of life.
Well, at least you're younger than me. I'm 57, girl.
So, yeah, I am like, wow, I've come really far. But I wish that I had taken my walk more seriously from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think, you know, obviously, again, the Lord does know our motivations, which we know he knows. And he talks about, he knows everything. So I think he knows your heart, knows our motivations, thankfully, because I'm 57 and I've been walking much closer to the Lord. Same as you, really closely for a little over 3 years.
Yeah.
But was baptized in 2014.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, you know. Yeah. So even though I knew Jesus, was raised in church and kind of whatever, in and out. but my walk, truly,
yeah,
I mean, a good, strong, solid walk, we're talking
or just all the times that you thought, like, you were so, even like when I got baptized, like I was on fire for Jesus. Absolutely. But then when I look back at my life at that time, I was like, well, it really didn't show in my life that I was on fire for Jesus. You know, so, I was still drinking and smoking and doing things I shouldn't have been. And
And we still fall short, right?
Because
like we talked about that one of our studies weeks ago. We'll fall short until the day he takes us home.
Yeah.
We just have to repent and know that if we've done something or come across, as I can sometimes in a drive-thru, snippy, you know, that you apologize and treat. And it was funny because he did say, like, how are you treating your waiter and your, how are you treating people in your everyday walk?
Yeah.
And that's true. Like, really, it does make you look and say, I need to check myself a little more often.
Yeah.
You know?
That is true. So.
And for me also, it's also, I want to strengthen my walk because I want Riley to have just a super solid foundation from the start. Like, I want her to walk with Jesus closer than I ever did at a young age.
That's right.
Because then she may not have the trials I walked with as a teenager because I wasn't walking with the Lord. So if I can help her avoid any of that, that would be phenomenal.
And
I would love that.
Luckily, she doesn't get judged at the age of almost two for her
attitude. It does show how good the Lord is because all those years that I wasn't walking with the Lord and I had a hard teenage life because I was doing things that were not godly. Now God has given me the ministry of teens and I'm open with them. I'm like, listen, I did this. It was not good and this is where it led.
That's right.
You guys need to, so God can take that.
Absolutely.
My disobedience and turn it into other people's obedience.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mine's the same. And that's teaching. I think that's why we are all in the teaching kind of mode right now, even though we're not pastors. We're just everyday people who love the Lord, right?
And
learning the word for ourselves and getting closer with him. My walk was the same. I mean, I'm lucky I wasn't a high school dropout, honestly.
Yeah.
I was a teenage pregnancy, ran away when I was a freshman. I did a lot of bad things, you know, and the Lord turned it all around. And I look back, I can look back now and know he was there the whole time.
Right.
Because I should have been dead. Had he not been there, seriously.
Yeah.
I had walked my teenage years. I literally should not be here, but God.
Yeah.
So he's been there the whole time, thankfully. All right. Our second one was 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 says, our works will be tested by fire. What are some gold and silver works in your life right now? And what might be some wood or stubble? Meaning what's going to be burned up and what's going to be salvaged? I think we've kind of hit it a little bit right now, right? The burn up stuff is going to be all the stuff that I did, I think.
Yeah.
That was not of God. It was not good. And all my treating people not so nicely, that'll be burned up immediately, right?
Right, but
The gold and silver is like, walking with Christ now and leading people to Christ and leading your family well and raising your baby well. And,
you know, that's true.
And you with the teens, I think what you're doing now, that's solid gold and silver.
Oh,
you know?
That's amazing.
Because it's bringing people to him.
So blessed to be.
You guys have anything else to add to that? I mean,
we hit a lot of it. Yeah, we could have really combined one, you know,
One
and two.
Accidentally.
So here's what we'll talk about the crowns. Do you have your paperwork on the crowns? Because if not, I've got it here too. This makes it easier for you. Out of the five crowns the Bible mentions, which is the crown of life, incorruptible crown of righteousness, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing, which one speaks most to your current walk with Christ?
Okay, so the victor's crown is the crown for believers who practice self-discipline and self-control in their Christian life. Much like an athlete trained for a race, earthly rewards fade, but this crown is eternal. And the emphasis is perseverance, self-deny, and victory over the flesh.
Yeah.
Crown of rejoicing is often called the soul winner's crown, and it's associated with believers who bring others to Christ. Paul speaks of the people he led to Christ as his joy and his crown. And the emphasis is evangelism, discipleship, and rejoicing in the fruit of faithful witness. The crown of righteousness is awarded to those who love and long for Christ's return and live faithfully until the end. It emphasizes finishing the Christian race with faith intact, endurance, godliness, and a longing for Christ's appearing. The fourth is the crown of glory, and this crown is promised to faithful shepherds and leaders of God's people, pastors, elders, spiritual leaders who serve willingly and humbly without seeking personal gain. And the emphasis is on faithful ministry, servant leadership, and care for God's flock. And then the last one, the crown of life, is sometimes called the martyr's crown, and it's given to those who endure trials and temptations and even persecution, even unto death, remaining steadfast in love for Christ, perseverance in suffering, faithfulness under trial, and ultimate victory over Christ.
Well, we know the 11 of the 12 apostles will have a crown of life when we get
there. Yeah, that's right.
I think for me, it's the crown of glory. Shepherding God's people. I feel like the Beyond the Church Walls team ministry is exploding.
Yep.
And it's the most amazing thing in my life right now.
Right.
Like shepherding these kids well as I want to say something I'm proud of, but I know that it's really the Lord's work. So maybe proud that the Lord would give me this this honor to do it and trust with it. But I'm blessed to witness it and be a part of it. So that's definitely, I think, what mine is in my walk right now.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I want to run to the end. I want to be faithful to the end. Which one's that one? The incorruptible crown?
Yeah.
I mean, well, this is the scripture, honey.
That's kind of righteousness.
Yeah, I just want to, I think with any of the crowns, you're going to hear that, right? Well done, and faithful servant, no matter what, right? But I think winning souls is important to me, so whichever what that one is.
Yeah.
And
kind of rejoicing.
Just staying steadfast and faithful to the end.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because I feel like when you first start walking with Christ, you feel like you'll never be able to evangelize people. You know, and then as time goes on, you see more and more of it in your life.
Absolutely.
And you're like, wow, like,
well, there was a day, God. There was a day in my walk that I had a hard time praying outwardly to people. Like I pray for you all day long in my closet by myself with the Lord, but to actually lay hands and pray for someone that took a lot.
Yeah.
To do it. It was not a comfortable place, but as time has passed, it's like,
oh yeah,
why not? Well, what's the problem?
Right.
You know, because it's his words, it's not yours. You're just praying and, you know, whatever.
And that's one of those things where you just have to take a step of faith and do it.
Absolutely.
Because as soon as you do it, it's like God does the rest.
Yeah.
Like, but it can be very scary.
It was my very first, and I've said this story, and this is a part of my testimony, is my very first time ever praying for someone was during COVID. And it was a 90-year-old woman that I was taking care of in the COVID unit.
Yeah.
And she said she was scared. I'm like, this was not my words coming out of my mouth. Would you want me to pray for you? And I literally, when I heard myself say, I'm like, what in the world did you just say that? It wasn't me. Because that's, I mean, I would have, you know, comforted her other ways, right? But, and then when she said yes, I was like, well, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Lord, you better help me because I have no idea what to say.
Yeah.
So, and I couldn't tell you today what I said, honestly. So that's good. You got something.
Yeah, I say it for me, probably also the crown of righteousness, just enduring faithfulness, just like showing my faithfulness, the crown of rejoicing, you know, if we want to win the more souls in heaven, you know, that's great, right? I would love to say the victor's crown. I don't know, it's self-discipline, like I struggle, I'm working on that. So the victor's crown would be nice to like, hey, you did it, congratulations.
Yeah. Right.
But
does the victor's crown come with the martyr?
Is that that's
like, because I'm like, I mean, not that, you know, like, again, I'm, but
well, it says,
to be martyred is a big,
no, the crown of, but it's also endurance through trials. So I think, so that one, I mean, the crown of life wouldn't be bad.
Yeah,
that would be
a good one to have as well, too.
Yeah.
But I don't live it.
As long as I don't, as long as the martyr card's the problem. I mean, it's hard.
Job definitely have that crown of life on
his. Yes.
That takes me to the, you know, and it's sad to say, but the people who've been beheaded for their Christian walk. I mean, I look at that and think, wow, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, wow, that says a lot about their walk and their belief, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does knowing there will be, again, we talked about this because we're like, we didn't know there were degrees of rewards before we got into this study, at least because I've never, ever had a pastor in my entire 57 years of life discuss this, the rewards in heavens and what the degrees of that, but the Bible definitely talks about it. How does knowing there will be degrees of rewards for believers change how you view your everyday life and choices?
Well, it's kind of, we kind of joked around about, like, we didn't know there's a caste system in heaven, right? Like, we all thought we're supposed to live, like, together, harmoniously, so it's kind of funny, but and it really just, I think more motivation.
Will. Still live that way, but
who would have thought that we would, you know, these different
My mansion's going to be your mansion.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I mean, all honestly, just motivation.
Yeah.
No, it's not for me. It's not like, oh, I want all these crowns. It's still just,
you don't want to miss out on these promises
exactly.
in the Bible, but read about your whole life and then.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he said. So John Bevere hit it, right?
Yeah.
If you are focusing your life here as your eternity walk, you're either going to end up with no rewards, some rewards, or full reward. Why would you not want full reward? So, you know, and only the Lord and the Holy Spirit can help you get there. So you just, you know, if you're struggling with, or like you said, being disciplined, that's not you. That's not you. That's you and the Lord. Right. So you've got to take that to the Lord, myself included there.
Right.
Yeah. But I think for me, knowing it was cool to know it, but I hope that my walk would reveal it anyway. Absolutely. Like I would, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I think you're right, motivation, but for me, it's like, okay, well, regardless of what crowns I get, I hope my life reflects all of them.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, because I don't know if it reflects all of them with the one you get. Maybe you get a little of all. I don't know. But I just hope it's reflective of all. And I do think it would be great to reign with the Lord.
Yeah.
So you got to have some rewards to do that, right? You got anything on that, Ian?
Just kind of like you guys said, there's a motivation to it. Like you want to get the promises that you have read about and you want to get your full reward.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Well, so it was also brought up last night, like we have this, are we going to care? Like, let's say someone really makes it with the smoke on their tail.
Yeah.
Are they going to
And somebody care? Gets their full reward.
Yeah. So someone gets their full reward.
Yeah.
But let's say someone doesn't. Are they going to care? They're in the presence of the Lord. Are they going to care that they don't have their crown?
So there's a reason. Now, and we talked, well, it's true, but there's supposed to be a reason why there are different, right?
Yeah.
But I think, at least how I view it or vision it, is because there are no tears in heaven once we get there, it's the judgment comes before that.
Right.
And the judgment comes as we're having the end. This is, okay, you're going to face your judgment seat, which is, of course, your works, what you've done.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have that feeling of,
crap, I could have done better.
Lord. Yeah. And it's more of an emotion, and he's a loving God. So you're going to feel love from him, and he's going to help you through that moment. And then that's it. You know, I mean, because we know there's no tears or condemnation or any of those things in heaven. It's pure. We'll know what his, why his justice and everything is the way it is.
Yeah. But I think
full sense.
I think too that just like how we can't, as finite beings, understand God, we can't, as finite beings, understand how we will feel as infinite beings.
Right. That's
so, like, some things we just have to be like, we won't really understand that until we get there. Like, we have no reference point of understanding that.
Just like he talked about, we don't have no reference points of eternity.
Right. Yeah.
If you were told you have 10 days to live or whatever, he gave what references are you? You have only today to live.
Right. Are you going to eat all those desserts? Exactly.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to live a thousand, you're going to take your time. And they're just like one or two.
Yeah. Right.
But I also, it cracked me up when it was brought up, like, am I going to live in a cardboard box in heaven because I didn't get am I just looking at mansions?
I don't think there's any reference to cardboard box houses, but they're only references to mansions.
Right.
So I think we're safe now.
We had a fun conversation.
Yeah, that was just good. This is probably one of our better ones, I think.
Yeah.
Bring him to discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
Really, a lot of good discussion came out last night.
Because I think everyone was in the same boat. Like, no one has really heard about...
Have heard this discussed.
The different judge. Like, I just thought, when you're being judged, it's like, okay, Crystal, like, you're dead. Welcome in, like you made it, or bye, I didn't know you. I legit thought that that's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see everything I've ever done, good and bad, throughout my entire life, and then as long as I'm a believer in Jesus, I'm still gonna be able to walk through those gates.
Right.
You know, versus instead of that's right.
Well, how
legit what it was.
Right. And how we know some of that's not true is because God doesn't remember your sins.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So He's not gonna show you sins before your very all your sins. He's not gonna reveal those to you. You know, before you walk into heaven, because He's already forgot from the east to the west. Right.
And I thought that was like metaphorical. I didn't know until recently that he really does not.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he was just kind of like, it's like I forgot your
stuff. Right.
Right. Because you thought there was this judgment. Is that why?
Yeah, and that guy like forgives you, but he, you know, forgives, but he doesn't forget. Yeah.
I thought you'd still like see your where you messed up, I guess.
I think people reference like, which I think this will be powerful, and that you will see in heaven where you have helped others. You'll see who all you've helped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because when people have had near-death experiences, they have said that, like, where they've seen, you know, you've heard people talk about how their life flashed before their eyes. They saw all these things. And some of them that I've watched have actually seen how their one decision to stop and help a homeless person.
Right.
How that one act of kindness trickled to 10,000 people getting saved.
Right.
Over a lifetime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think those are the kinds of things that I envision that the Lord's going to be revealing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's kind of like when you think of people, things that you helped that you didn't realize, right?
Yeah,
so right, I was just saying like how we first become a Christian, we're like, oh, I could never evangelize anyone, right? But now my daughter, who is almost 14, and she sees us and what we do and how we live our lives. And now she, no fear, has evangelized like numerous of her friends. And if they don't go to church, they're coming to church. And I'm like, just the fearlessness of her in evangelizing people. I'm like,
I mean, she even wants to go to Starbucks, right? And like give people gift cards or something.
Yeah, she wanted to write the Starbucks owners cards so that they could know Jesus.
Yeah, I love that.
For National Starbucks Day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, especially in a place like Starbucks.
Right.
Like the fearlessness. And I'm just like, and you know, that's because she sees us living our life this way and going to the homeless shelter and helping people and evangelizing. Yeah. And it's like, we don't even realize that effect we're going to have on people she's helping.
Right. So, like, right. And so how you're raising her, right? She's affecting how many lives. So at the end of the day, Amy, what I'm saying is you evangelizing to her basically, right? And all these kids, imagine those 15 kids, and who knows
who the Lord's going to take that.
Multiply that, and then multiply that, and then multiply that.
Yeah.
So at the end of our lifetime, and we're in heaven, it's going to be who knows how many.
Like,
be hundreds of thousands. We don't know. But I do believe that we'll see that. I think that the Lord will reveal that. And I think that that's
powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
To say, okay, go get more, because the more we can evangelize, the more we'll see in heaven.
Yeah.
It's so important. Because none of us, I mean, I can't even imagine anybody going to the lake of fire. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Okay. So the great white throne judgment is final and for unbelievers only. How does this truth stir your heart for evangelism and sharing the gospel with others? I think we've just been talking about it.
Yeah.
Pretty much for me, when I have people in my life who are family, who, you know, are non-believers or lukewarm Christians, you know, you want to just talk. You want to share the Lord with them.
Yeah.
But everybody, not just family, right? We evangelize when we go to the homeless shelters, wherever you walk. And even your walk, I think, is evangelizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys have anything to add there?
No.
We kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said in Matthew 6, not to practice righteousness just to be seen by men. In what areas of your life do you feel tempted to do things for recognition instead of for the Lord?
I don't know, for me, that it's always like necessarily recognition, but I'm not always like a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
Like we tithe faithfully and we tithe, you know, we do offerings, so we give more than we should, but I'm not always like cheerful about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, because I feel like still there, if I'm not, I know the Bible says to give cheerfully. And so your motivations need to be to give cheerfully. But like, I am giving because I want to make God happy. I want to do the right thing. But I'm not necessarily happy about it. You know, like sometimes I'm like, this just isn't fair. Like, why, you know, why are we having to give this? Or, you know.
Your time.
Your time, your money, whatever it is. And But I feel like we kind of discussed that last night. Like, yeah. Like you should still get a little bit of credit there for like doing the right thing, even though you didn't want to.
So Lord only burn up half of that.
Yeah. Can I get like renegotiate this? Like,
I don't think this is me negotiating.
Yeah. My motivations were not good in the fact that I really didn't want to do it. My heart wasn't good. But they were good because I wanted to do it for you.
Like, I had discipline and I did it anyways. So don't,
yeah.
Like, does that count?
Does that count?
Like,
yeah, it was a good discussion.
I think, I think I brought it up before, like, and I think, of course, it's different. It's different now, but I was always afraid of just worshiping for the wrong reason. Like, when I first started to worship, it was because there was someone who was doing it by himself. So I just kind of like, oh, I can't, you know, it's like I don't know. I wasn't sure that I was actually called to do it. It was just like, hey, I will worship with you. So you're not worshiping, you know. So it's just, you know, and then there's at one point I questioned if I like, am I actually supposed to be doing this or am I just doing this? Like, I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I just don't see that from you though. Because A, like, that's just not your heart. You're not like, hey, look at me person. No. And B, you, even now, we're like, you know, you're like our person who is in charge of our worship and you are super talented. And we're like, Crystal, sing louder because you're really good and talented. And you still have that part of you that's like, well, I don't know if I'm doing this for the right reason.
I do not want to be prideful, Lord. I am not conscious.
But instead, we're sending up me singing off note to the Lord as his worship. Like,
he takes it all
studies. Yeah. That's just not but who I mean, you are.
I've talked about this before in other studies, though, Chris, but I think because you are cognizant of the fact that you don't want to be prideful in that area,
right?
You check that. You keep that in check. And I think as long as you do that, I think it's people who just like forget that their voice and their talents are from the Lord. And it's all about them or whatever, and it does become the show of them or whatever. I think so. There's a difference. I think because you do keep in check. Because I do think I don't care what if you're doing worship. I think that there is a close connection to pride if you're not careful.
Right. Oh yeah.
For sure. Submit, like, you don't submit to that.
Yeah. There's that fear, and it's and also got me questioning too. Talking about when we talk about careful with the talents. So is me being nervous or hindering? Because I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to answer to prideful. Like, am I now that person who's hiding? They're like,
well, probably because there's times I'm like, should we worship it? So yeah, probably you should work on that.
You should also because you know you are really talented, and I think that it makes a really big difference. Like if you're singing loud, if you're singing the loudest because you have a beautiful voice. It makes a difference, I think, in the atmosphere, and it makes a difference in the worship. You know what I'm saying? And
well, worship is to get into the presence of the Lord, and so that's what worship is to do. So.
People are trying to focus, and I'm like, like they can't focus on the Lord.
Yeah, I told Andrew, like, worship, I don't know, I've always just loved worship music. It puts me in just a good place with the Lord, and I want to be able to... I want people to feel what I feel.
Then that tells you right there that you are the right person for the job.
Right.
Because you want to bring them into the presence of the Lord.
Sure.
Like, and he has given you a gift to do it. And you should definitely do it. And I might be a little selfish in saying that just because I really enjoy people who are musically talented and like hearing them. And so you should belt it, girl.
Okay.
What about you, Mama?
I already said mine. I'm good. Philippians 2:10 reminds us that every knee will bow to Jesus. What does this verse personally mean to you when you think about your family, friend, and community?
Just basically those who know Jesus and has purposely turned away from Jesus, like the Satanists we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't believe. Well, here you go, buddy. This is it. Here is your Lord and Savior that you've turned
away from. Well, I think Satanists have to believe that there is.
They do have to believe.
Right, but they just unfortunately have chosen to follow the wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
I think they're bound to one. Well, you're gonna bow to the ultimate. You're gonna bow to the Creator.
Yes.
One day, not the created.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think in terms of people I know in real life, like my community, most of the people that I'm friends with and talk to on a daily basis are believers. Mm-hmm. And they will happily bow. Absolutely. And the ones that are not, I feel a little bit responsible for them. And I know that it's not like on me, you know what I'm saying? 100%, but it does make you be like, okay, these people need to know Jesus. And right. If I'm in their life, how could they not, you know, mm-hmm. I need to make sure that I.
And that's exactly kind of how I feel. So yeah. Is my walk, if my walk is with Jesus, then it should be reflecting that, right?
Yeah.
So the people who are, when we all kneel, some of us, we know we're going to the, with the Lord, and some are going to the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And so those that I know, love, and in my community, we should all be bowing for Jesus.
Yeah.
Going to heaven.
Yeah.
Not going to lake of fire. So I just pray that my walk will, for those people who are not walking with the Lord, that they change before it's too late.
Yeah. And will I be happy with the effort that I put into it?
Yeah.
To get them to see the Lord.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you hit it, right? Like, that's hard because when you see a loved one that you love dearly potentially going to Lake of Fire,
yeah,
what could I have done differently?
Right.
But it's not on us.
Because
because the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict them, not us.
Yeah.
It's our job just to walk it and be a light in the darkness, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So,
yes.
All right. How can you live more intentionally this week in light of eternity? I walk pretty intentional.
I know sometimes my attitude gets the best of me, and I feel like I'm pretty nice to people. So like we're out at restaurants, like I'm especially like really nice to servers, so I don't really see myself opening issues there. But like in my marriage, just being more
kind,
yeah.
Yeah, we talked
submissive, like more. I forgot how you worded it yesterday, Mom. You remember?
Ask me about yesterday.
No. Yes. You talk about like in your marriage, like you not like a servant, but more.
Well, so that you know, it's God first,
right?
Then the leader of your home should be the spouse, the husband.
Yeah.
But you are equal co-laborers,
right? Correct?
Like we're not. So we're submitted in a sense that. You know, we're co-laborers for the Lord. You know, we're not like at their beck and call. But
I just forgot what word you used yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, just more.
We should have recorded it.
I know that it was something that we all said. Yeah. Like I know that I'm.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That must have come from the Holy Spirit because I don't remember it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just sometimes, like, when it comes to that, because I struggle there, right? I mean, there's no fun. I mean, I struggle there. But just because I feel like my walk is one way, everybody walks a little different. So we've talked about that because some of us have spouses that aren't as close. Our walk the same way. Not that they're as close because we have no idea how close someone else is to the Lord. Right. I don't know what their prayer plus looks like.
Yeah.
You know, but. It's not our job to know that, but I think just submitting and being kind and putting your husband first will allow him to lead you well.
Yeah, I could be just, you know, intentional for sure about that, you know, and I think that sometimes it's easy to like. So, for instance, for me, like one of the things that means putting my family first is keeping my household running. And tidy and going, but I have mental illness, so that's not always like the easiest thing in the world. And
right.
I think sometimes I have to like remember that my motivation should be like to take care of my family, and I need to kind of like push through it, you know, because I'm an advocate of mental illness is difficult, but it's not an excuse, like a blanket excuse.
Right.
So I think for me, I was like, yeah, that's definitely something that I can. Not that my house is like a hot mess or anything, but I can just do better.
But it's small. I mean, can't we all there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I look at the baseboards. I'm like, yep, should be dust in those, but not today.
Yeah.
But I think like that, I can relate with it. Like I who work full time. So I look at my husband and I, we both work full time. And so I think we should equally do things, right? But then I'm like, okay, is that serving him well? Because he's working sometimes doubles. And I'm not. Well, I am. But I'm in a different way. Like I have a more flexible.
Right.
Where if I work, you know, 6 hours, I can get up and do something around the house and then go back and work. You know what I mean? So it's more flexible. So I'm trying to take a different attitude.
That's it. Serving them well. That's exactly how you order.
You have to serve them.
Serve them well.
And I think that starts there. So if you serve, and I think I've given, there's the book that I've, what's the book that I've given you that we've talked about? I don't know. I think it's like drawn a big, huge blank. It's not love languages.
Is it fireproof?
Yeah, it's like fireproof.
Love and respect?
No, it's fireproof. Yeah. It's like where,
I've got this love language. Give me fireproof.
Yeah, but it's where you like 40 days of just intentional. You know, and it might be, it's Fireproof is the movie. I can't think of the book though.
I think it might be
But it's basically just like loving your spouse well. Like, you know, even if they're not treating you well, for example, like if, you know, if don't treat an unkind word with an unkind word.
Yeah. Right?
So if Tony snaps at me today, I'm not going to just, well, I shouldn't. I should say I'm not going to because I do. And I've got work on that, but I should just be quiet if I can't say something kind.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, it is hard to say something kind when someone's not being kind.
Yeah. And
it's very hard to do that. So it's best then just to shut your trap.
Yeah.
And walk away from it until you can come back and say something kind.
Yeah.
Or then address how that may have felt or treated, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's it. And then just serving them well. And we're not going to always get it right. I get it wrong a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a work in progress.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've been told from Angie's like, you're so much nicer to other people than you are to me.
Tony's told me the same thing.
And I, and like thinking it's almost like I take his love for granted and that I know he, not that I know he won't leave, but it's almost like I don't check myself as much because we are together.
Yeah.
And I know that we both are committed for the long haul. So it's almost like, I guess I do kind of take that maybe for granted in that I am more snippier. Whereas like someone else, I might watch a little bit more. But I really gotta check myself.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, and I think Tony has said similar things, and I think we talked about either, maybe it was the last Bible study. Like for me, it is hard for me if I am taking care of somebody all day long, and now I've got to come home and have that same empathy and same, it's like, dude, I'm done. Like your mental capacity, you know, you just want to turn it off, but we can't because the Lord, I mean, our family should come before even our jobs.
Yeah.
Period. So, you gotta keep.
All right, y'all.
Some questions, though. So, let's get back here. Do you guys have anything to add before we close?
I think so.
So, every one of us will stand before God. The question is, which judgment will be for you? Okay, and so we're going to end on this. I want to remind everyone, this is not gloom and doom study, but it's a truth and hope study. For believers, the judgment seat is not about condemnation. It's about rewards and accountability. For unbelievers, the great white throne is sobering reality and should stir compassion, not pride. So let's approach this with reverence, but also gratitude, because as believers, our judgment is already settled at the cross.
Whew, that was deep. So please share this with someone who needs to understand eternity.
Because eternity is too long to be wrong.
Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. See you next Thursday.